All right, Proverbs 3 and 5. Let's read what the Bible says. Trust in the Lord with a portion of thy heart, all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In some of thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. It's a personal proverb. It's personal. You trust in the Lord with your heart. Don't lean onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. It's personal. That's why the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I want to talk to you this morning on this thought. Trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Trust
Amen.
In the Lord. Why don't we just lift our voices to the Lord right now? Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, your anointed word. We thank you today for the worship, the prayer. We thank you for the worshipers that gathered together, God, in spirit and in truth. We thank you for those that, God, have come, God, to give you praise and thanks and burdens, God. We have come to bring you something, God, and we're going to leave, God, better and challenged and encouraged, equipped, edified, convicted, but, God, closer to you than ever before. The church says, amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. The book of Proverbs gets its name from the first verse in the scripture of Proverbs, chapters of Proverbs. Proverbs 1 and 1 tells us the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. The word proverb refers to the comparisons between known items and profound truths. And I've had this biblical principle for many years. And if you've been under my pastorship, you've heard me say this. But my recommendation is that you read one chapter of Proverbs a day. There's 31 Proverbs. And my kind of flow is if it's August 1st, I read Proverbs 1. If it's August 2nd, I read Proverbs 2. And so today's August 22nd, and I read this morning Proverbs 22, and so on and so forth. So I would recommend that. And we know that the purpose of Proverbs is to teach people, to teach us how to obtain wisdom and discipline and prudence in our life. In fact, the scripture tells us in Proverbs chapter 27 and 12, the word of the Lord says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The New Living Translation says a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton or the simple person just goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. And Proverbs teaches us, helps to teach us what is right, what is just, what is fair. And Proverbs helps us apply wisdom to daily life as well as moral and ethical instruction. And we know that the scripture tells us, which is a proverb that you probably want to make sure that you read and reread. But Proverbs chapter 4, I want to say it's verse 23, says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Your spouse is not your issue. It's a heart issue. It's a heart situation. Your boss is not the issue. They just have a heart issue. They have a heart situation. The government is not your issue. There's a heart of the matter. There's situations there. So King Solomon, in his wisdom, in his early years of his kingship, he is responsible for writing Proverbs and or compiling it with Lamar and Agar, that which we have learned. And every day life confronts us, here, Pastor, confronts us with many decisions. But the Word of God is a compass that helps us navigate through the murky waters of life. And the source of all, somebody say all, all strength and power and wisdom and influence comes from the Lord. And it's God's word that is infallible. But just like our scripture text instructs us to do, we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding. But we know that life is not easy. And life is, as we understand, everybody has a difference of opinion and perspective. And lots of people hear and see things differently. We have just our own set of lenses that we view things from, based off of our experiences, based off of our past, based off of education level. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know as much as we think we know. There is still so much more to learn. And we just break this down scripturally in Isaiah chapter 55 and 8. Notice the word of the Lord says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." And notice this, "and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." That right there in its basic form ought to be reason enough for us to trust in the Lord.
Amen.
And the more you know the Lord, the more you know the Lord.
Yes.
And Solomon has given us all some very good nuggets in life and principles that are very good in applying to our daily life, but more so in daily life with our spiritual walk with the Lord. And notice, I'm going to read our scripture text again this morning. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart."
Yeah.
"And lean not into thine own understanding." Have you ever made the statement, I don't understand. I don't know. Why is this happening? But the scripture is telling us we even when you don't understand it, you've got to trust the Lord. And even when you don't get an answer or the answer that you thought you were going to get, we got to remember His ways and His thoughts aren't our ways and our thoughts. And we got to trust Him anyways. When you look at that word trust and you break it down, it kind of gives us four areas of definition there. I'll just go through them quickly, but it means to put confidence in.
Yeah.
Put confidence in the Lord. It means to be secure in. When you're secure in a relationship, mm-hmm. you don't have that wandering eye.
No.
Amen.
Well, come on, somebody. When yeah, you're not supposed to, right? Not supposed to. But when you are trusting in the Lord, you're secure in the Lord. You don't know sometimes how things are going to end up, but you trust Him. "Though He slay me, yet I will serve Him, and I will trust Him." Even when I don't see it, I know He's working it out for my good. Come on, somebody. I'm going to trust in Jesus. When you trust Him, it means you put your hope in the God of all hope. I put my hope in Jesus. But the part that really sticks out to me is when you see the word trust, sister, it tells me to rely on the integrity of whatever you're putting trust in. Listen, let me tell you something that we all know, but that we have all gotten a greater appreciation of. But I've known this, but let me remind you of something, that all of my life, the Lord has been faithful. I may not have always been faithful to Him the way I know I should be, but regardless, all of my life, He has been faithful to me, to you, to all of us together. We're proof here today. The fact that we're in this building today, that is of His faithfulness to us. His faithfulness endureth to 1,000 generations. We ought to be able to trust the Lord because of his faithfulness. He doesn't lie. He doesn't cheat. He doesn't steal. He's not trying to be vindictive. He doesn't forget about you. He knows your name. He knows your trouble. He knows your sorrow. He's concerned about you. We can trust in the Lord. In fact, I'm a testimony, a living, breathing testimony of the faithfulness of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
A sports team will trade their best player and kick him to the curb in a heartbeat. But the Lord, rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. The Lord shall be a light unto me. Come on, somebody. You can trust in the Lord. He is the way when there seemeth to be no way. So Scripture says. In fact, Jesus tells us specifically in the Scripture in John 14 and 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
Colossians 2 tells us, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything we need can be found in Jesus. And if he don't have it, you don't need it, and you definitely don't want it. That's why we ought to be able to trust in the Lord. His ways are better and greater than mine. Even when I don't understand it, I will still trust the Lord. There is a path and a way that seemeth right unto a man. But you know what? Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. We got to remember what the book says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In all thy ways. Notice what the psalmist tells us in Psalm 37 and 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Powerful, powerful. It goes on to tell us, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. It's a commitment. Can I tell you, serving the Lord is not a commitment of conditions of convenience. I am committed to the Lord if the conditions are right and if it's convenient to me. No. Serving God is not a relationship of conditional commitment of convenience, but serving the Lord is, I'm going to trust him. Trust him. It was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Right before that, they had an opportunity to say, well, the Lord can, but I don't want to tempt the Lord. You know, we just kind of leave it for another time. No, they said, whether I go in the fire, he's still with me. And if I get in the fire, our God is able if he chooses to. Sometimes the Lord will take you through the fire, and sometimes he'll leave you in the fire. Yeah. But if he leaves you in the fire, it's for the refining. There's something in you that he wants to burn and purify. Something in Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. I don't want him just to work on the inside, but I need him to work on the outside, so I will trust in the Lord. If there has ever been a time for us to heed to the voice of the Lord and to trust the voice of God, it's now. I want to nail this down to somebody. Nail this down again for somebody. Here, Pastor, tell your neighbor, listen. Escúchame. The Bible is the infallible, inspired word of God.
Amen.
It is. Anybody have an employee handbook on your job or a manual? Policy and procedures, or we used to call them SOPs, standard operating procedures. Those things change. You get a new boss, you start, things change, right?
That's right.
Doesn't change. Hasn't changed. And it's not the best kept secret, because it better not be a secret.
All right.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, all right, and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Whatever you need can be found in these pages. If you like drama, there's drama. If you like action, there's action. If you like love, there's love. If you like scary stories, there's scary stories. Come on, somebody. You like history? There's history. Everything you need can be found in the Word of God. We need to trust in the Lord.
Amen.
I want to reiterate something I've been saying over and over for the last 18 months. Stay informed.
Yes.
Don't be ignorant.
Right.
But be careful what you read and what you believe.
Exactly.
And I don't care if they have a lot of degrees. Well, I don't care if they have more degrees than a thermometer. If it's contrary to the Word of God, tell them, stand in the corner over there. Don't look my way. Keep your mask on. Keep your eyes closed. But I'm going to come over here with the Word of God, and I'm going to kneel down before the Lord, and I'm going to trust the Lord. Whatever the Lord needs me to do, I'll do it. Whatever He wants me to say, I'll say. But I want to make sure that I am trusting the Lord with all my heart. Have you ever read something and somebody say, well, you just can't believe everything you read. Have anybody ever said that?
Uh-huh.
Right? Well, you gotta consider the source.
Yeah.
You gotta, what do we say? Well, it's gotta be verified by three sources, right? Remember in school it'd be cite your sources. Remember that? Well, but haven't you ever wanted, Brother Chris, maybe just to read something and be like, I don't want to have to verify if it's true or not, or fact check. Anybody ever say how refreshing it is just to read something and be like, it's true?
Yeah. That's
right.
Well, let me tell you something. This
right.
is true. It's true. It always has been, and it always will be.
Yeah.
For the Word of God, notice this, is quick. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and to the joints and the marrow. Notice this, and is a discerner of the thoughts.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the intents of the heart.
Yep.
Yeah, intentional. It's intentional. Come on, somebody. Let's so trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Say, Pastor, how did you know such? Because I'm doing my part, and the Scripture's doing its part, and so the Lord's doing His part. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Let God be true and every man a liar. That's why we ought to be able to trust in the Lord. Listen. Don't forget who's in charge.
Exactly.
Right? You know, Dad comes in and says, well, I'm still in charge around here, right? I'm paying for this thing. This, I'm still in charge around here. Hey, remember, you are a child of God.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And you are a child of the Most High God.
Amen.
The Scripture says the earth is the Lord's. So as a child of God, we've got to understand what the Scripture says when the Lord says in Jeremiah, behold, I am the Lord.
Yes.
The God of all flesh.
Yes.
Is there anything
right.
too hard for me? Nah, that ought to be an encouragement that rises up in your spirit and say, you know what? Yeah, this life is hard. Going through what we're seeing happen in other places and some of the things we're anticipating is hard. But trusting God, who's the God of all flesh, and there's nothing too hard for him. The Lord is not surprised by your situation. He's neither is he too busy to hear your prayers. The ears of the Lord are inclined to his people, and we got to be able to trust the Lord. Trust him with all of your heart and lean not into your own understanding, but in all our ways, we're going to acknowledge him.
Amen.
Listen, for some, you're just a number. For others, you're just a statistic. You're an employee number. You're a badge number. You're a number on a schedule. But not with the Lord. He loves you. He wants you to know him more and more. And he desires you to trust him. To trust him.
Yeah.
Remember, you were a sinner.
Amen.
But you're saved by grace.
Yes,
and you have brand new mercy today.
Yes.
That ought to remind you again. I want to pound this into the ground. To trust in the Lord.
Yes.
People gave up on you. They said, oh no, there's just no use. I'm done. Cancel them like a bad check. Block them like a Facebook friend. But no, the Lord, he is rich in mercy. And Lamentations tells us, therefore, I have hope when I recall this into my mind. It is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Notice this. How awesome our God is. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise, because you can trust him. You and I are a living, breathing testimony of the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
Psalmist tells us in Psalm 103, know ye that the Lord, he's God.
Yes.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Hallelujah.
One God, Father of all, above all, through all, and in us all, or in me all. It is God that had made us.
Yes.
You were made by God.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Genesis 2 and 7. And God formed man from the dust of the earth. And he breathed in the man. And man became a living soul. You are not a robot. You are not just some cosmic explosion figment of somebody's scientific theory. You are a living, breathing testimony of the power and the mercies and the love of God. Why would you not want to trust him with that? He knows all about you. The psalmist says he's acquainted with all of your ways. There's not a hair on your head that he doesn't know about. Come on, somebody. You can trust the Lord. Whatever you're going through, I feel something in the spirit. Whatever you're facing, whatever is going through your mind, whatever's been keeping you up at night, you got to give it to him. Let him have it. Let him keep it and trust with what he'll do with it. Well, Pastor, I need some answers. What can I tell you? His ways aren't our ways. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. He may say no when you want a yes. And he may say nah, not right now. It may be delayed. But if it's delayed, it doesn't mean it's denied. You just got to trust in the Lord. We are his people. We're his people, it says. We are his people. Notice that. Psalm 103. We are his people. That's who you are. He made us. So if he made you, he can heal you.
Yes, amen.
If he made you, he can forgive you. If he made you, he can guide you. If he made you, he can restore you. If he made you, he can fix it. If he made you, he knows what's happening. Therefore, if you've got questions, he's got answers. If you've got concerns, he's got solutions. If you've got desires, there's a way that he's going to create in you, in your life. If you've got ambitions, he is aware of that. If you've got disappointments, he's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all you can ask, think, or imagine. But we got to understand, we need to trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Got to have continual trust.
Yeah.
That's right.
Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. But before that it says, lean not into thine own understanding. We can't. The more you trust him,
right. The
more you can lean on him.
Right.
And the more you lean on something, the more you can trust it. Think about that. Yeah, some of our chairs have a lot of trust, right? Think about that, right? Some of us, we got a lot of trust in our tires, right? A lot of trust, man. You got a lot of trust in your baseball team, right? Some people got a lot of trust in their football team. I know some people, man, they have a problem with church, but man, they still wear a jersey of a team that hasn't won since I've been alive, and man, they brag it. They're in a... Whew, I'll stay on track, but trust,
yeah.
Trust, it's called trust. Trust takes a long time to accumulate, and it just takes sometimes just one instance to lose.
Yeah.
Trust. Right? Trust. Anybody been here married 30 years? Anybody been married 30 years? 25 years? All right, 25 years. There we go. Praise God. Being married 25 years, there's a lot of trust versus for someone that's been married for 4 months, 3 months, right? Hadn't even gone through a quarter of the year yet. Haven't even met all your family. There's some you're still hiding from me. Right? Hadn't even gone through Christmas yet. Don't even know if she could make macaroni and cheese. You know? It's trust. But when you've been with somebody for 25 years, there's a whole lot of trust. You can lean on each other. Appreciate one another. You're secure in. Come on, somebody. Same thing with the Lord. The longer you walk with him, the closer you get to him. Begin to trust him more and more.
Amen.
And as he began to trust him more and more, he began to lean on him more and more. Begin to lean on him more and more. Some of you got a gangster lean, but now you need to start trusting in the Lord.
Yeah.
Start leaning on the Lord. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Come on, somebody. Start time to trust in the Lord. Here, Pastor, hear me. I'm concerned. Somebody say he's concerned. We get it, Pastor. We get it. You're concerned, Pastor. But there's still too many people not taking where we are in biblical prophecy serious enough. If you're watching or you're listening later, especially if you're a prodigal, it's time for you to come home. I'm reaching for you. You know too much. Like, what are you waiting for? Yeah, you've got disappointments. I know you got real hurts. I know that church hurt is real. It's real. I know you've got embarrassments and thinking, well, it may be easier to restart somewhere else. I know you struggle with things. And nobody's minimizing the the realities and the unfortunate things that may have taken place. In fact, I'll go on record right now and apologize for all those past and present church hurts. People, pastors, ministers, people in the church that were supposed to help you that hurt you.
Yeah.
Your trust was
yeah.
broken down. They failed you. They offended you. They didn't apologize. I'm apologizing for them. And if it was me, I'm sorry. But we got to trust God. You got to trust God. It's time to get right, stay right, and be right when the Lord comes back for his people.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. That's why Paul says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. This is not a joke. This is not a game. This is not a bad movie. This is not Groundhog's Day. This is for reals. This is not a phase. The atrocities of this world are real. Like who would, last week I barely tapped on it, and who would have known that in 7 days over 200 Christians, preachers, missionaries would be killed, beheaded in Afghanistan. And then they're going house to house, checking the phones of Christians to see if they have any Bible apps on their phone to verify if they're Christians or not. And then they're killing. This is real stuff, baby. What we're seeing exposed is real. And addiction is real. Sin is real. And where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And can I tell you, Jesus' love is real. His mercy is real. His forgiveness is real. I'm a product of restoration. I too was a prodigal over 21, 22 years ago. But because I put my trust back in the Lord and got my eyes off of man, I'm here today. Come on, somebody. It's time to trust the Lord again. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. He is so confidential. Our God is a confidential God, and he's so real. But if there's anybody that we should be talking about and talking to, it ought to be the Lord. We should be talking to him, and we should be talking about him, not talking about everyone else and slandering and gossiping and being a busybody. Yes, you got an opinion. Keep your opinion outside the church. But when you come into this church, this is a place for the hurting, for the rejoicing, for the worshipers, for the sinners, for the born again. We are a church, and a church has got to be united, not be divided. So don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on the Lord and trust in the Lord.
Amen.
That's why Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 33 and 3, call unto me, and I'll answer you.
Yeah.
And I'll show you things that are great and mighty, which you don't even know about.
Come on, thank you, Jesus.
We know that they're subject matter experts, but even they get it wrong.
Yeah.
We know that laws and opinions and science and people's words get misrepresented, or they're not able to keep their word. But man, the Lord, he's the same. We can trust him.
Yeah.
Nobody knows everything about everybody except the Lord. Psalm 147 tells us, great is the Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. We know that we put our trust in cars and in medicine and in people and in brands. But are we trusting the Lord like we say we trust the Lord?
Right?
Because we've seen some folks that we had a different perception of them before, back a couple years ago, and now you're like, wow, I'm surprised. They ran for the hills and still looking to the hills from whence cometh their help. Come on, somebody. 1 John 3 and 20 says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and all things.
Thank you, Jesus.
Are we putting more trust in other things and people than we are with the Lord?
Yeah.
Notice what Scripture tells us again in Jeremiah 17. I'm coming to a close here in a moment. This is what the Lord is saying. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Are we acknowledging the Lord that, like we do, acknowledge the opinions and advice of humans? Because Ephesians tells us, walk circumspectly, not as fools but wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you know how you can know what the will of the Lord is? To spend time with the Lord. Do we go to Him first? See, the first one we go to. See, the first one we talk to. Oh yeah, I'm coming for you in the Holy Ghost. Coming after you. Or is He the one that you make a statement and say, well, I guess we better pray. Really? Guess we better pray? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to Facebook. Makes you wonder, though, doesn't it? Let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding. See, when you compare, lean not to your own understanding, and you compare this Bible verse and you read those two in totality, one after another, you start connecting the dots and the puzzle comes together. The reason you can have peace when other people say, I don't understand how you can go through what you're going through, you're like, because I trust the Lord and I gave it to Him.
Right.
He's got it. I'm His. It's up to Him to deal with it. I'm acknowledging Him in all my ways. So we need to pray for the hand of God to guide us and lead us all. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. We need to pray for wisdom. And when we pray, somebody say, when you pray, we need to do what Mark 11 and 24 says. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Somebody say amen. We need to pray for mental and emotional and spiritual strength. God has all strength and all the power that you ever need, and it's available to us. Notice what Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 26 and 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, not just in peace, but in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Because your mind stayed on Him. Because why? We trust in Him.
Right.
Trust ye in the Lord. Only during a pandemic, forever. Somebody say forever, forever, ever. We gotta trust the Lord. We gotta pray for His protection. We've gotta pray for the forgiveness of sins. We've gotta pray over sickness and disease, and pray for God would give us strength over weariness and over the turmoils of this world. And pray, somebody, please pray that the Lord will build a hedge of protection over you and your family, like Job had. Job had a hedge of protection around His family. We've got to remember and understand that the name of the Lord is still a strong tower, that the righteous run to it and they're safe, is what the proverb tells us. They are safe because we know who is in control, and we can trust the Lord.
Amen.
We can trust the Lord. Pray that the Lord will use you to encourage somebody.
Amen.
If there's ever been a time for us to pray for one another, it's now. What Paul said, he said, pray for us. 1 Thessalonians. We need to pray against the spirit of heaviness.
Yeah.
We got to pray against spiritual wickedness. Amen. In high places.
Amen.
We got to pray against the spirit of fear.
Yeah.
Demonic oppression.
Yep.
Pray against the lies of the enemy.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If the enemy cannot overpower you, then he will do everything he can to cause you to become discouraged, distracted, or disillusioned.
Yeah.
Just think about that. And let me give you some spiritual insight, which you've probably heard me say before, but the devil is a liar.
Yes.
Always has been.
Yes.
Always will be. In fact, the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11 is lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. So if we know he's a liar, then whatever he says or tries to do, then you just do the opposite. If he tells you that you're ugly, you say, well, no, I must be good looking. If he tells you that you shall die, you tell him, no, I guess what? I'm going to live. I shall live and not die. He's the accuser of the brethren. He likes to torment people. He likes to bring up your past. He likes to tempt you. He likes to tease you. He's like a bad breakup. Just won't go away, but lingers around because some of you are still letting him linger around. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 4, neither give place for the devil. Don't give him any place. Say, get out. Get out of my house. Get out of my marriage. Get out of my finances. Get out of my mind. You get out. I'm opening the door. Get out. Andale. Get out. Hurry. You got to go. You're not welcome here. I'm going to trust the Lord. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to take your finances. He wants to destroy you. The scripture says he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But our Heavenly Father, he's come to give us life and life more abundantly. And Psalm 62 and 8 says, trust in him at all times. People, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge, Diana. He's a refuge for us.
Amen.
So trust him.
Amen.
Trust him. Trust him with your emotions.
Yeah.
Trust him with your finances.
Yep.
Well, I didn't get too many amens right there.
Amen.
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
His 10% is not negotiable.
No.
Honor the Lord with thy substance. And with the first fruit of all thy increase. That's one of the biggest ways we can trust the Lord. We got to trust the Lord with your marriage and your ministry. Specifically with your marriage. In Mark 10 and 9, if the musicians would come. What therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder. And then your kids. You got to trust the Lord with your kids. I'm going to use... There's some of you that have traveled all other places, countries, for work and personally. Listen, the Lord, I've built this platform already. Explained it to you. The Lord knows us. He's created us. We could have been born at any other time in history. We could have been born into a different family. Right? God's sovereign. He could have done whatever. We could have been, some of you are born in other countries and you've immigrated to this precious country here. But the Lord equipped us, right? He ordained us for such a time as this.
Yes,
and he knew, here, Pastor, that some of you would be parents during perilous times.
Yes.
Grandparents during perilous times. He knew that. He knew. And I was going to have a 12-year-old in 2021 and be a pastor of this church in 2021. Some of you were going to be grandparents and et cetera. So we got to trust him that he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And so the scriptures tells us about our kids. Notice this. Children are the heritage of the Lord.
Yeah.
That's from the word of God.
Yeah.
God does not lie. God has equipped you. And he's going to help us lead our kids through these times and for as long as the Lord will tarry. But we got to trust him.
Right.
We have got to be able to trust the Lord and not lean onto our own understanding, but acknowledge him. So we stand this morning. Do you have limitations with acknowledging the Lord in some areas of your life? Do you still have some trust issues with the Lord in particular areas of your life? You trust him with your kids, but you don't trust him for your marriage. You could trust him to heal you, but you don't trust him enough with your finances. Oh, I trust him because you're sane, Pastor, but It's hard to trust him on Monday. We gotta grow in the Lord and grow with the Lord.
Amen.
You trust him, but can he trust you? You ever say that to somebody? Trust him. Trust him. He still answers prayers.
Yes, he does.
Doesn't change.
Yeah.
Is he your everything or just your weekend fix? He still forgives. If you haven't been baptized, what are you waiting for?
Yeah.
If you haven't given your life to the Lord, what are you waiting for? Yeah. If you're still walking around with the same hurts, and if you're still carrying the same burden, I'm using him as an example. You're still carrying the same burden from January?
Uh-huh.
Man, get rid of it.
Yeah.
You're still carrying the same hurt from 2020? Get rid of it. Give it to the Lord. Trust him. Trust him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. The posture of the blessed is a person that trusts the Lord.
Yeah.
They've learned to trust the Lord. And so they're blessed. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spread out her roots by the river. He shall not see when the heat cometh, for her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit, because they trust.